just to show my loyalty to my team and my teammates. You know, I know they always got my back, so I got their back too. So just showing them that I'm willing to not be a problem and a distraction. Just go out there, just practice and play and see what happens. That was my mindset.
Business. James Cook, 2025.
Welcome. Business completed.
Completed. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Kelly, Derek Kramer, here with you for the last hour leading up to preseason game number 2 tomorrow. At what time? 7th. It's a later game.
It's 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. 7 o'clock pregame.
We're starting at 4 pregame.
Against the Bears.
I get to be here for all of it.
You must be ecstatic. the look on your face. I mean, at least it's Bills action, right? Can't complain.
My lawyers have advised me not to answer your question.
Okay. Plead the fifth. Sounds good. So, you know, if you're just joining us, my whole thing is I will be away for the next 2 weeks. So I will not see the preseason act. I will. I'll see it. But I won't be involved in the conversation.
You won't be as heavily involved within the preseason action that is tomorrow and next week.
Next week, yes. So I will be kind of off the grid leading into the regular NFL season. So we'll be back on track for the start of the season. But kind of wanted to, and I've gotten into sports betting, and not in the degenerate sense of I'm mortgaging my house by any means. Like we're not going to go that far.
You have made jokes about being a degenerate.
Though. Right, right. It's always fun to joke, never to be. So
there you go. That's a good way to say it.
I like looking at player props, player odds going into the season and just seeing how wrong or possibly 100% correct they can turn out. And it's kind of going around the NFL because the Bills don't have much, right? They don't have many question marks.
Really? There's an entire HBO Hard Knocks on them right now, and the national fan is saying they're boring. You're telling me that there's not many question marks on this team?
No, not many, because the quarterback is kind of still there, and, you know, when the quarterback's involved, it's just kind of stays moot, if you will.
It's also the Bills have been one of the best teams in the league for the last 5 years, and they've been that team and consistently been that team.
Yes.
Even in the down year, quote unquote, they have the 3 seed in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's on the down year.
The down year. And legitimately, that's why the saying is it's the Bills division until it's not, because they haven't proven any other way. So I'm gonna throw to Evan here for a second. Evan, could you possibly get some NFL music going to go around the NFL? Look at some of the top players in the league and their odds going into the regular season here. Because there are some interesting ones, especially new teams. Aaron Rodgers, like passing yards, passing touchdowns on the Steelers. Like, what are we feeling like, you know? So I think we could look at this a couple different ways. What do you think?
All right. This is your idea. I'm letting you spin it.
All right.
I'm here for the ride now.
So, Aaron Rodgers, regular season, total passing yards for this season. On the Pittsburgh Steelers with DK Metcalf. And I don't know who else.
Pat Freiermuth, and that's the list.
3,200 yards is the line. 3,200 and a half. Over or under? What do you think? What would you say Aaron Rodgers is able to do?
I feel like over is a good answer here because of the fact that, like, the guy may not be what he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the Jets last year, he almost throws for 4,000 yards.
Right.
He was 103 off. 3,200 is a generous line.
Right.
For
him.
For Pro Rodgers.
Exactly. And even, like you said, on the Jets, almost approaching 4,000, it
seems
like.
He has to get hurt in order to not hit 32.
Yeah, and I'm knocking on wood for not another injury with him.
Yeah, you don't want it to be like that.
Never wish for injury or the newspaper will find the back of your head. So I would take the over on that, 3,200 and a half, easily.
Yes. I will say, like, it just, and it, you look at his entire career, it is the seasons that he gets injured that he does not hit at least 3,500 yards.
Yes. Yeah. So
even with the Jets,
the non-Achilles season,
he gets to 3,897 yards.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened his last two seasons where he has played a full year is that his interceptions have gone up.
Yep, they have.
A player who almost has had an outright refusal to throw interceptions, including his disgustingly hilarious 48-5 touchdown to interception ratio in 2020.
Yes.
His last two full seasons as a starter, 2022 and 2024, he's thrown a combined 23 picks.
Right.
That's almost antithetical of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like a different player. It legitimately is.
He's not hitting the same tight windows that he used to.
Mm-mm.
He's not having the same reads there. But 3,200 yards is child's play for him still.
Yep, I would take the over easily. 3,200 and a half, easy. Now, staying on Rodgers, passing touchdowns. Over or under 22 and a half, you think he breaches?
I still think that's over.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 22, he has to get hurt.
Yes, I agree with you.
Because
it's not, I guess Vegas is kind of laying that out there. Like, there is a possibility for injury at his age, right? It's never out of the question.
That is a good point.
I think it might be hedging a little bit of the injury.
They're probably looking a little bit at the fragility of it. But I do look at that as he had 28 with the Jets. He had 26 in his last season with the Packers. So there is a little bit of a downward trajectory going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdowns is a little tougher.
I still am
taking the over.
I would take the over too, but it is tougher to think about.
But I also think it's because Pittsburgh's going to need him to catch up in games, or they might garbage time their way to getting these stats.
Well, you know, that Hail Mary he threw against the Bills last year, what was that? You know, you never know.
That's first of all, that's Bills nonsense against the Hail Mary.
Just like the screen pass. The Bills against a Hail Mary or a screen pass, it's never a done deal. Never a done deal. But we're not going to do every quarterback because that's absolutely insane. We're going to just do some of the more notable names.
You're looking at notable ones. You've got them all picked out.
Yes. Here. So the next one I want to look at here, and because of your prediction for last season for the 49ers, I feel like it kind of throws a little wrench in what to expect from Brock Purdy now that they're healthy again, right? Over 3,850 and a half or under that for Brock Purdy next season. So he's approaching 4,000 passing yards, according to Vegas. What do you think there? Is he under? I feel like with McCaffrey, I would say under. I think he gets close to that.
I don't think it's McCaffrey that's the reason to have worry about Brock Purdy getting to 4,000 yards. I think it is the lack of trustworthy abilities of the wide receiver core and its ability to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Ayuk is still coming back from an injury from last year. Juwan Jennings is probably, I think, their only healthy wide receiver right now again.
Right.
They got rid of Deebo Samuel.
They did. Deebo is now on the Commanders.
And while he has had a major decline in his production, I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm going to say under on Purdy.
Under 38.50. That's 38.50 and a half. That's where he's at.
38.50 would be pretty much where he was last year, 38.64.
Mm-hmm.
And that was he missed two games.
Yeah. So, realistically, if he's healthy the entire season, there is a chance. And he did that with a battered 49ers team with injuries last year.
Yes,
so
he did.
There is a chance he goes over 4,000, but I don't know. I don't feel that trending up yet. So, his touchdowns, though, over 24.5, under 24.5. I feel like that could get a little interesting there.
There's a lot of variance because Brock Purdy, his seasons of touchdowns are as follows. Rookie year 13 in 9 games, 5 starts.
Yes.
31. 20.
Yes.
There's variance.
There is variance. I would say 24 is a medium of that variance. 24
is probably a really good number to settle on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say under on the yards, over on the touchdowns.
I'm with you on that. I agree. I think 24.5 is pretty much the median of where he has been. So he has the opportunity to breach that. But another quarterback coming up just here. We were talking about him earlier today. Caleb Williams. You interested in his regular season passing totals?
I am very interested in this, considering that we're going to get a nice little preview of him.
We are.
Tomorrow night.
3,625 and a half is his over-under line. So approaching 4,000.
Okay.
I would say that's a pretty good line for him. I think he might be right about that.
I think that's a really good line, because if he gets over that, we're looking at legitimately the first ever Bears quarterback to throw at 4,000 yards.
Yes. Right. Right.
Zach and I did I went into a rabbit hole yesterday on the Bears and Caleb Williams and the Bears organization as a whole. I do believe it was Steve that tweeted yesterday about this. Steve said if they can't get this combination of Ben Johnson as the head coach and Caleb Williams as the quarterback to get to 4,000 yards, they may never do it as a franchise. And I agree. If you can't get this combination to do it, pack it up, run wing T for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Play triple option, be literally different than everyone else because you're never getting a 4,000-yard passer.
You're right.
If you don't do it with this combination.
Absolutely.
I still think that that's a really good line.
I don't know if he breaks it, though. That's where I think he'll hit it. He might be right around it. A little over, a little under.
I think it's going to be over and still going to fall short of 4,000.
Okay.
Because the Bears are just a franchise that is doomed to never have one.
Right. I agree. I think he might breach it by probably 100 yards.
Ready? Here's the simple reasoning on this.
Mm-hmm.
He had 3,500 yards passing last year. Take 10 sacks away from him.
It's probably where he's at.
You're probably getting that 100 yards to get to that line.
Absolutely. So you're a little over.
Take 10 sacks away from a 68-yard sack for a 68-sack season.
68-sack season is wild to even say.
Take 10 of them away.
And he's there.
You're probably getting more production from him.
Mm-hmm. And his touchdown passing touchdowns, not in general,
yep.
22.5.
Over.
Yeah.
He had 20 in his rookie year where he again got sacked 68 times.
Mm-hmm. So the less sacks.
If you can correct some of this with the new offensive coordinator or a new offensive system.
And a new offensive coordinator technically as well.
Yep.
You're going to get there.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Or you're a bust.
then the question comes where he goes. I'm intrigued to see what action we see from him coming up this weekend.
It would be really tough to see him not do well, especially because, again, that Wickersham book puts more target
on him.
On him.
Yeah.
Being the quote-unquote problem.
Talk about painting the bullseye on your own back. I mean, that's pretty much what that interview did.
He needs to have a good year, and mm-hmm. I think that he'll have a better one. Again, getting sacked 68 times tells me, one, that you're way too patient with the football. You need to get out faster. And two, a better offensive system probably allows for less complexity in routes, mm-hmm. and Ben Johnson's creativity is going to help with that in that regard.
Right. I'm skipping around here a little bit. I'm looking at Drake May right now with the Patriots in his sophomore season. Him specifically is interesting to me. Just does the wide receiver help really help him, or are we going to see a pretty similar performance to last year? Are they really that year away from being a year away?
Dude.
3,275. 3,275 and a half yards is his passing yards.
3,275.
Yeah.
Okay. So what they're asking for is 1,000 more yards than what he hit last year.
Mm-hmm. Which I think your upgraded wide receiver core might be able to get that for
You might. Because I'm going to give to you the wide receivers on the roster
from last year. Okay.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Two of his top four receivers were tight ends.
Yes.
In terms of yards.
Okay.
And Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. He was throwing to Kayshon Booty, DeMario Douglas,
oh God.
Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Polk.
Yep. Gross.
Polk, by the way, is outpaced by not only two tight ends, but two running backs in Antonio Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. The latter of whom dropped a ball that allowed the Bills to turn it around in a game where they were sleepwalking against the Patriots.
Because
mm-hmm. that's recovered for a touchdown.
Yep. Yep. So,
and it was a swing pass. It wasn't necessarily supposed to be a fumble. It was just the pass ends up behind,
mm-hmm.
and Stevenson drops it. Jalen Polk had 87 yards last year.
Yeah,
that's not good enough.
Disgusting.
For the fourth wide receiver on your team to have 87 yards,
mm-hmm.
you needed to do something to get Stephon Diggs in there. You can't have as bad of a group from that. Also, Kyle Williams, sneaky good. I really liked him, and apparently so did the Patriots, and they took him far sooner than even I expected.
Yep, and even you have Mac Hollins on the squad this year as well.
Mac Hollins being a tertiary option, again, is probably where he's most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think over 3,275 and a half is easy pick here.
I don't know if it's an easy pick. It's a lot of production you got to make up from, especially when you have an offensive line that's not known for being stable.
Right.
But you also do have a better running back coming in Travion Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm gonna take over on that. I don't know.
I'm gonna take over. I don't love it.
I'd be a little nervous if I was actually gonna place that.
But at the same time, if Drake May is actually going to be solid in this league, he will make that next step.
Yep. Yep. And his passing touchdowns, over 20.5, under 20.5. I'm taking over 20.5.
Considering he had 15 in 13 games last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's what you're 100% right. And if we're expecting more production for the passing yards, passing touchdowns kind of come along with that.
Yes.
So I know we're ticking closer to the break, so I'll keep a couple.
Oh, we're still doing fine here.
Jaden Daniels is where I want to go next.
I'm going to be interested to hear what the numbers have to say here, because Jaden Daniels is going to be a really, like, these numbers are going to get possibly comical.
Yep, they might get comical. And I'm going to tell you, I think I'm going to take the over right now.
Okay.
Before I even tell you. 3,425 and a half. That's, over.
That's less than he did last year.
I know. I'm hammering the over on that.
I mean, I get it because they did lose a couple pieces.
Right. And they might be expecting a sophomore slump. But
more importantly, there might be... Like, how extreme does this get with the contract situation with Terry McLaurin? If he holds out into the season, we got a problem.
Is he going to hold out into the season? I think he'll play. I think it's a similar situation to if James Cook didn't end up getting his money, he would have played in the regular season for the Bills. He will go somewhere else.
Yes, but McLaurin does have more money in the bank than Cook did.
Yeah.
In terms of his holdout. And he has a lot more production within the league to try to do that.
Yeah, more leverage.
And from what the sources have said, it has been like $7 to $8 million apart. There's a cliff.
I don't like that. Considering he's a wide receiver on my Dynasty Fantasy Football team, I'm a little
nervous.
They're
a canyon apart.
Okay. Well,
but that's still kind of funny to me that it's less than what he had passing totals last year.
Mm-hmm.
What are his rushing totals looking like?
Like rushing props?
Yeah, what's the rushing props on that?
Let's see. I'm going to have to go look for him.
Right.
Jaden Daniels' regular season rushing total, over 675 and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're really banking on a slump.
Oh, they are. Josh Allen's over 500 and a half.
Do you know how many yards Jaden Daniels ran for last year?
I don't off the top of my head. How many?
9 off of 900, 891. You're telling me he's going to dip that far?
They think a sophomore slump
wow.
is incoming.
Yeah, they do.
That's what this looks like.
Yeah, they do. They sure do.
So, again,
I don't think it's that extreme. I'm taking the over on all of those.
Yeah, over, and then his touchdowns, I haven't even told you that, 24 and a half over. I don't know how many he scored last year. This is just passing touchdowns.
Yeah. I might go ahead and say that's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still taking over, but I'm not... Yeah, that one I'm not as crazy about.
Okay. Okay.
The others? Easy. Over easy.
Okay.
Well, like the egg.
Over easy like the egg. I'm gonna let this bleed into the next segment because I've got a couple big names that are interesting. But right here, just off of last year and what is going on in Miami, Tua turned the ball over, right? He is 3,425 and a half. That's his over underline. And I do want to talk more about the Dolphins.
How much is it
again? 3,425 and a half.
Oh, 3,400. On a Dolphins team that might be cooked.
But also has Tyreek Hill, so,
you know. For a player that has had only one healthy season.
Mm-hmm.
That healthy season, he led the league in passing yards.
He did. And they put up 70 points on the Broncos.
We're going to have to talk about that one on the other side.
Yeah, I agree. But his touchdowns, by the way, over 22 and a half, under 22 and a half. So
we'll get the answers to those.
We will. I'm intrigued, and I've got a couple more big names to look at in the next segment. And I can't wait to talk about the Dolphins in general.
And we might be taking some pot shots on Miami coming up next.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to this wonderful Saturday. Beautiful day outside. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. Sports Talk Saturday. Before the break, we were going through over-under totals on passing yards and passing touchdowns for quarterbacks. We even looked into a little bit of rushing action on Jaden Daniels especially because
right.
It was such a steep drop-off from last year. Before the break, we ended up talking about the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa really... What do we think? Like, I don't know what to think. Just his injury history. You mentioned he had one healthy season. Like,
one 17-game season, yes.
And it's just... I feel like Miami's a dumpster fire ready to implode at this point.
It's not even with Tua's health at this point that is my biggest concern. It is about how Mike McDaniel does seem to be conducting himself like a dead man walking.
Yes.
And
even the things he's saying at some of these press conferences, he sounds just defeated. Like, he's got nothing.
And then there's also the Bears reports, like Sal asking a Bears reporter about like, hey, mm-hmm. the physicality, and they were impressed about how the Bills would match the physicality and then sometimes even outdo it.
Mm-hmm. And the Dolphins
and with
were just
Miami,
not there.
It wasn't there. It tells me that there is a leadership there
from McDaniel that the players are just a little, they're more lax. They're not as tenacious. And of course, then there's Tyreek Hill. Man says, I'm done. And Tua, I think, said the right things.
Oh, he did it the right way.
He called it out. And I think that's the right thing to do. Honestly, if not for the dead cap hit, I'm pretty sure Miami would cut bait with him.
100%.
With Hill.
How do you go about bringing...
Because then you've got Hill saying, and ready? I don't care if he's right. You don't say it publicly of, what do you guys need to do to get better at third down? Take Achan out.
Yeah, right. Now he's trying to coach and tell you how to run your team?
I'm sorry. You can be correct. Tell that to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell that to the reporters.
That's a behind closed doors kind of situation.
That is throwing a teammate under the bus saying that you're not good enough for this.
Even though Achan, I mean, has been a standout running back in the league for the past
His point was that Achan is not a power back, and he's correct about that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that you don't say that to reporters.
No. You publicized it. And that was the big issue.
But again, Tyreek Hill's causing more problems than he's capable of solving at this point. More at 11.
Sports is next. That's not even the sports stuff.
It just...
It's like watching a soap opera down there right now.
And that's the thing.
In the 305.
So the player props. I forgot the numbers already, mostly because of the fact that the Dolphins themselves do look like a team that is in some... They're in some trouble.
Yes. So
they're in deep... They're in some deep doo-doo. Mm-hmm. As one Jar Jar Binks would say.
Darth Jar Jar. Tua Tagovailoa over 3,425 for passing yards, and then passing touchdowns 22.5 both ways, over under. And I don't feel confident that he's going to be able to do that, mainly because I'm not confident he can stay healthy. And that's kind of where it's at this point.
If he stays healthy, let's go on the
if he stays healthy. Thing.
Ready? He stays healthy. Yards over, touchdowns under
mm-hmm.
is my pick.
I would agree. I think the running backs do a lot more of the scoring of the touchdowns.
It's also because through a 16 or 17 game season, his best is 29. That's his best.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Miami should have taken the division.
They should have. And then the Bills stormed back with this crazy win streak and just snagged it.
Because Miami has an outright refusal to be able to beat teams over 500. Or play well in November, December, January.
Mm-hmm. We got to credit Hardy for that game. That return was the only thing that actually got anything going for the Bills in that game.
But there's a deeper problem of Miami, though,
mm-hmm.
put themselves in that position.
They did. They let it slip away. They had a death grip on it. If they won more games, they would have had it. They fell apart.
They lost to Tennessee and Will Levis.
Mm-hmm. Mayo man.
Rookie Will Levis.
Yes.
Before he became the meme lord that we all can savor.
Mm-hmm. It's just a and you look sad at the rest, story in Miami.
You look at their schedule. First four games. It's the Colts to open and then the AFC East. New England, Buffalo, New York. Carolina's not a pushover. The Chargers are a game that they're probably losing. Cleveland is feisty, at least defensively. Atlanta should be better. Baltimore's going to knock the snot out of you. You got Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington in 3 weeks before the bye. Tell me McDaniel doesn't get fired by then.
Yeah, if it's bad, I think they do make the change.
So ready? The first eight games. Indy, New England, Buffalo, New York, Jets,
mm-hmm.
Carolina, Chargers, Cleveland, Atlanta. If they're 3-5, you're in trouble because then it's Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington.
Yeah.
Because 3-5 then quickly turns into 3-8,
mm-hmm.
heading into the bye week.
Then the scissors come out, and then
you're cutting bait with the coach.
Yeah, that's done. And it's a shame. It really is because, I mean, it's not because it's the Dolphins. Let's just be honest here. But Mike McDaniel,
Washington is a London game.
Yeah. When Mike McDaniel, 9:30
or
a
Europe game, sorry.
9:30, yeah. I was just looking at that. When Mike McDaniel came into the NFL and really, not NFL, but the Dolphins organization, he's a breath of fresh air for them. It kind of breathed life into the rivalry between the Bills and Dolphins. He played at it, right? Now it's just looking, and it was all these snarky remarks. I wish it were colder. It was kind of back.
It was great initially.
Initially.
By the way, it's Madrid, that game, Commanders, Dolphins.
Madrid.
So
it was good initially, you're right. And then it kind of just...
The problem with the snarky attitude or the fun, silly answers is if you don't win, the shtick gets old.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Miami, as of late, has not been winning.
No. And you can't act like that.
The last 2 years have been, you collapsed the AFC East title that was wrapped up for you. And then last year happened.
Last year was bad.
Last year was bad. Last year was also
Tua injury.
Tua injury immediately. And you're behind the eight ball before you can even get yourself out of it. And you're clawing your way for a prayer's chance at a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, before you head to your bye week, the schedule's not very forgiving for you.
No, you've got quite a run. And then even coming out, yeah, you have the Saints and the Jets, whatever they're going to be.
Well, the Saints and the Jets, I don't think they're going to be good. I honestly think the easiest part of their schedule is after the bye week.
Even with the Steelers, Bengals, you Bucks?
Have, so ready? You have a five-week stretch where you have to go to Cleveland, go to Atlanta, and then those three games against Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington, they're at home. But those teams are on a different scale than you are.
Yeah, they're the upper echelon of the NFL, and you are at the bottom currently.
And ready? That's also, the calendar starts turning. You're starting to get into November when you get Buffalo coming into town.
Right. You're getting cooler temperature. You don't have any advantage at your home field anymore. You're
and then
playing
Washington,
in real football weather.
Washington's not at home. It's in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. Then you're traveling. It's just, you know, it's not a short week for them.
And when
their
schedule gets easier, we're hitting December, where they start to collapse.
That's anyway, always where they do. Mm-hmm.
Where they start to collapse anyway. Miami could be in for a mountain of trouble this year, possibly even a five-win team.
I think we're going to be watching the tragedy of the Miami Dolphins this upcoming season. That's just what the vibes feel like, man, just
like,
looking at this.
Let's bracket it. Four games at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Indy, New England, Buffalo, Jets. Considering it's the AFC East, you're probably coming away with this, hopefully with a 2-2 record.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Could be.
But I'd imagine you're...
Could be
1-3. I usually don't subscribe to this, but you haven't handled Buffalo at all, whether it be home or on the road.
No.
And
New England looks feisty, too. They might be able to give you a run for your money.
Getting Buffalo at home early...
Prime time.
Is an interesting thing because you get the heat, but then it's prime time. It's at night. The sun is not bearing down on them anymore.
Yeah.
Womp womp. So I don't think you're beating Buffalo.
I don't think so either. They came close last year, but...
They came close last year.
Tyler Bass
on the second
got the confidence
around.
Back.
And then the kick that got Tyler Bass's groove back.
Yeah, woke him up.
But New England's going to be better. I think they're on par with the Jets in terms of caliber of roster.
I would agree.
Indy's not a pushover in terms of at least defensively.
Well, it depends on the quarterback that's playing, too, for them. That's the problem. You're either with Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson. At this point,
which one's worse?
It could end up being Jameis Winston. Could end up being, he could end up being somebody.
I don't know.
Either way, you're not looking great in the quarterback.
They're cutting Tommy DeVito, and you will like it.
I don't think they'll cut Tommy DeVito. I'm going to be honest with you. He knows the system too well.
I don't know, man. But again, that first four games, you're hoping to get out of that 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because division games, you can steal one or two of them, but typically you're not getting out of this unscathed. No way.
Not at all.
At best, you're probably looking at a 2-2 start. Carolina, Chargers, at Cleveland, at Atlanta. So you've got three of four games on the road, actually, because you're at Carolina, too. You got three of four on the road. The Panthers are going to be better than they've been in years past. That's not a gimme. The Chargers are good. Cleveland's got a tough defense.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of, can your defense, which has been dreadful, stop the Cleveland Browns? The answer is you should.
Should be able to.
Should be able to. But by then, we don't know who their quarterback is. Cleveland might be starting their third quarterback by then. In week 7. Atlanta. They're a better team than you.
100%.
And you're on the road.
Then it's the Ravens.
Honestly, I don't love this. I look at that and I go, Miami's going 1-3 out of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which puts you at 3-5.
Then you lose to the Ravens.
Then you've got Ravens, Bills, Commanders.
I think you go 0-3 in that stretch.
Big yikos.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach gets fired. It's 3-8.
It's done.
You're coming back from Madrid on the bye week. You try to get the interim coach boost to end your season.
Right.
And then you've got Saints, Jets, Pittsburgh. Probably come away with a couple wins there.
A split on that series,
probably
maybe.
Probably 2-1.
Yeah,
you're looking at a 5-win team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Cincy, Tampa, New England. Give it 1-2. I'm looking at a 6 or 7 win team here.
Yeah, and it's a stark contrast from what it was 3 years ago.
These past 3 years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like you have fallen off the cliff into eternity at that point.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, man.
It's like still calling it a rivalry between the Bills and Dolphins. It's moot. They're not.
I mean, it is.
But the Bills own them. It's not a rivalry until they at least put some other wins on the board against them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but also we've said the same thing about New England when there was just an outright inability to beat them.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna go ahead and say Miami fans, you're not allowed to call it a rivalry because nobody on your side wins.
I think it's more.
You can still hate them.
It's more of a rivalry on. I do not like the Dolphins, but you know what are you gonna do? It's not looking good for them though. Yeah. Not at all.
Rivalries are meant to just be hatred.
Yeah. Yeah. It's doom and gloom. I don't know. I do think I don't know if there are betting odds on McDaniel getting fired, but I would take the yes option 100% on that happening. But I don't know. There were a couple other names I wanted to look at on the list, just the bigger names, like, you know, Joe Burrow especially. We'll go to him just real quick before we wrap up the segment in a few minutes here and then tie up this little show with a little bow. Joe Burrow, he's over 4,225.
Did I look up the odds for which head coach gets fired first?
Did you?
Yes.
Did you find them?
So they've been yet to be released. But the odds that, so Odd Shark put something out about this. But the other sites, they haven't really put anything out.
Nothing yet. Yeah.
Dable's the first from their projections, plus 400. McDaniel, plus 500. So he might be being seen as the second most likely to get canned.
I see it with Dayball, though. I almost see the GM going, not Dayball. You know?
They were hired together, though, both from the Bills organization.
Yeah.
Joe Shane.
But it's not Brian like Dayball hasn't made the playoffs.
They showed up together, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but ready? Same with Miami. They've made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Greer keeps winning power struggles, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the other thing to look at. If I'm Greer, I'm looking at the coach and going, there's clearly a bad culture at that point, right? So I'm going to get rid of him before so that I can save my hind.
Right.
Because he had to deal with Brian Flores and beating him in a power struggle.
I remember that. That was a saga in itself. But Shane Steichen is on that list. I'm looking at it now myself at plus 600. Stefanski, plus 700. Dave Canales, 750. Jonathan Gannon, 800. I don't know what
we're looking at here. Honestly, Canales is going to end up removed from that.
Yeah. And then Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, on the list at plus 900.
Well, if they start poorly like they always do, that's not a good idea.
Right. And that leads into where I was looking at Joe Burrow-wise. They have him at 4,225.5 passing yards over-under this season.
4,225?
Yeah.
They're going to need him to be over.
He is over. But guess what? His defense doesn't carry their weight. So that's just how that ends up going. Like that, right. It's what you're going to have to deal with, especially they figured out Shamar Stewart, right? But they've not figured out Hendrickson?
Hendrickson, yeah.
Hendrickson has not been figured out. So that's your best part of your defense that's still sitting on the sidelines. Burrow's touchdowns, passing touchdowns, over under 33.5. Over.
They're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
In order to even compete for a playoff spot, they're going to need it.
Yep. And then just to cap this off, we're going to look at Joshua Patrick Allen, our own quarterback, just to close this out. Over 3,775.5 passing yards under that as well. What do you think?
3,700?
Mm-hmm.
Give me that over.
Yeah, me too. And then Allen, passing touchdowns. This is where it gets interesting with Allen, though, because he's going to rush for a majority of touchdowns within 10, 15 yards. Right.
So what's the number?
27.5.
Oh, still give me the over on that.
You think?
Last year's wide receiver room, he still throws for 28.
Yeah, 27.5. He's favored to go under 27.5.
And also, that's with one less game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stats say that he started all 17 games, but he took one snap.
Under 27.5, minus 148. Over 27.5, plus 112. They think he's going to go under.
Yeah. I'm saying that the over is a very comfortable thing to go with.
Yes, especially with Josh Allen. But that wraps that up. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap this show up with a little bow on the other side. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer. It's our job to keep you updated on all of the excruciating preseason action around the NFL. And boy, do we have a doozy for you right now.
All right, so the Cleveland Browns are leading the Philadelphia Eagles 9-7 in the second quarter of preseason action. I'm going to tell you something really interesting right now.
Okay.
So Dylan Gabriel has a pick six against him. Throws a pick six to the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's how Philadelphia has their touchdown.
I just watched that, too.
Joe, I want you to tell the people how many total yards the Philadelphia Eagles have right now.
Okay, so if you're listening out there, I want you to do this with me. Hold your hand up, close it into a fist. Pointer finger up, middle finger up, third finger up. That's it. Three.
Three! 3 yards of total offense.
And they're only trailing by... how many points? 9-7?
It's 9-7.
Two points.
Losing by two, and you have 3 total yards.
Before we know it, there's going to be a safety that ties the game. That's how this sounds like it's going to be going. There's going to be no offense.
So, I think also Philadelphia has their quarterback depth chart set, probably.
I would say so.
Is also what I would come away with this with. Because Tanner McKee, who was, you know, incredible in the first preseason game for Philadelphia, ripping apart the Bengals starters. That's not a reason for concern or anything.
No, not at all.
But Dorian Thompson-Robinson's the one starting for the Eagles here today. He is 2 of 3 passing for -4 yards. How does that happen?
I don't know.
Would say.
I don't know.
Right?
How does that happen?
So you look further into the numbers, right? Aniyah Smith has 1 reception for 10 yards. Oh, boy. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the 2 completions that Dorian Thompson-Robinson has, and he has a total of -4 yards passing. That does not include any sack totals or anything. That's just his passing. Someone has a 10-yard reception. What went wrong? Allow me to tell you.
Okay, yeah. Do enlighten me.
A.J. Dillon...
A.J. Dillon.
This is the play that is described.
Okay.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson passed short middle to A.J. Dillon to the Philadelphia 33 from the Philadelphia 47, mind you, for -14 yards. What I don't know is what happened. Help me.
Yeah. Can we fill in the blanks?
Can we get the play, please? Someone like have that on social media, please. Thank you. You're welcome.
I'm just seeing Dylan Gabriel throwing the pick six. That's what's on my timeline.
Yes, but there it is for you. But I have great news.
Okay.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson now has positive yards.
Beautiful. What are we looking at?
There's a 12-yard catch.
Oh.
So there we go.
What a positive note to end the show on. But that's going to do it for this edition of Sports Talk Saturday.
Thank you to Maniac of Trainwreck Sports for joining us in the 12 o'clock hour. If you missed that, you can catch that on demand at WGR550.com as well. It was a good time. We talked UB football, a little bit of Bills as well in there, and then talked about a terrible proposal from the Big Ten.
Yes. Yes, quite a terrible proposal from the Big Ten. But we'll catch you. At least I won't, actually. Derek will catch you tomorrow for Bills pregame. You'll hear from him and Zach Jones, and get second week of preseason action for the Bills. But that's it for this edition of Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Joe Cali. He's Derek Kramer. Evan on the board. Thank you for today. This is WGR.